ভগবতে বাসুদেবায়। ওম নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায়। ওম নমো ভগবতে বাসুদেবায়। কৃষ্ণায় বাসুদেবায়, দেবকী নন্দনায় চ নন্দগোপকুমারায়, গোবিন্দায় নমো নমঃ। নমা ওম বিষ্ণুপদায়, কৃষ্ণপৃষ্ঠায় ভূতলে, শ্রীমতে ভক্তিবেদান্ত স্বামীনিধি নামিনে। নমস্তে সরস্বতী দেবং গৌরবাণী প্রচারিণে, নির্বিশেষা শূন্যবাদী পাশ্চাত্যাদেশধারিণে। শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু নিত্যানন্দ, শ্রী অদ্বৈত গদাধর, শ্রী ভাষদি গৌর ভক্তবৃন্দ, হরে কৃষ্ণ 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 হরে হরে, হরে রাম 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 হরে। I would like to express my deepest gratitude to His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj and the other very kind leaders of Shishi Radharas Bihari Mandir for allowing me to have the opportunity to be with all of you tonight. I would also like to offer my deepest gratitude to all of you for taking your precious time to come to this holy place to celebrate the glorious occasion of Lord Sri Krishna's Janamashtami. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described how the Lord appears within this world. In Gita, Krishna explains, Janama karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tattvata chaktva deham punara janma naitimam eti swarjuna. That one who understands the transcendental nature of the Lord's appearance and activities in this world never takes birth again in this world of suffering, but attains the eternal spiritual abode of the Lord. Janmashtami, historically, is in fact the day that Lord Sri Krishna appeared in Sridham Mathura, in the prison cell of Kamsa, to Vasudeva and Devaki, approximately 5,000 years ago from today. But also the great Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas, they have given us the essential lesson that Krishna wanted to reveal to us through the means by which he took birth in this material world. As you know, Devaki and Vasudeva were married, and Kamsa was taking them on the chariot to Vasudeva's kingdom when that voice echoed in the sky, that the eighth child of your sister Devaki will be the cause of your death, Kamsa. Kamsa, being the very symbol of a materialistic person trying to exploit the resources of material nature for his own personal interests, became so threatened by this challenge that in order to protect his egoistic domain, he was willing to perform the greatest atrocity of slaughtering his own innocent, helpless sister. He drew his sword, he held her by the hair, and he was about to murder her. She was helpless with folded palms, praying to the Lord for protection. And Vasudev, through so many arguments, ultimately promised Kamsa that every child that takes birth from the womb of my wife, I vow that I will turn her over to you. Why, after being put in the prison house, did they continue to have children? For a mother, the newborn child is more dear to her than her very life. And for the father as well. The first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth of those infant-built babies were taken by Kamsa right before the very eyes of Vasudev and Devaki and smashed upon a rock. Understand that Kamsa, in his previous birth as Kalanemi, he was killed by Lord Vishnu. But Sukracharya, by administering him the mystical Sanjivani herb of medicine, he brought him back to life. And Kalanemi performed severe tapasya for long, long periods of time. And after satisfying Brahma, he received such benedictions that he could not be killed by any creature of this world. And he gained great, great power. And he conquered all the asuras and made them his servants. And then he conquered the entire universe, including Indra, the king of heaven. It is said that he had the strength greater than 10,000 elephants. And yet, with all of that strength, he was taking the innocent, helpless, infant children of Devaki and Vasudev, and he was smashing them upon the rock. Why did Devaki and Vasudev continue to have children under these circumstances? Because they knew that the Supreme Personality of Godhead was to become their eighth child. And in order to prepare the way for him, they were willing to accept any type of personal suffering for themselves. Why? Because the Lord appears, Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanaradhaya sambhavami juge juge. He appears out of his causeless mercy for the welfare of all living beings within the world, to annihilate the miscreants, to protect his devotees, and to reestablish the principles of religion. When we are willing to make such sacrifice of our own attachments in this world and our own personal interests and comforts, at that time, Janmashtami will take place within your heart. Krishna will appear. But what is preventing us? What is preventing us from this pure, unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving service that was exhibited by Vasudev and Devaki? There are six enemies which are born of the mind, which are prohibiting us from making our heart a pure and proper place for Krishna to manifest himself to us. Those six enemies are lust and anger and greed and pride and envy and illusion. And until these six enemies are killed, Krishna will not appear within our heart. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that originally these six sons in previous birth were the sons of Marichi, and they committed an offense to Lord Brahma, and therefore they were cursed to be the grandsons of Hiranyakashipu in the form of demons. And then next birth they came into the womb of Devaki. Marichi was born of the mind of Brahma, and he symbolizes the mind. The six anartas are symbolized by these six children. And until they are cast out of the womb of our heart, and until they are killed, Krishna will not take birth. Devaki, her womb represents bhakti. When our bhakti is pure, free from these six enemies of material attachment, then, as Krishna explains in Gita, for one who has control over the mind, for one who has a pure mind, the super soul is already reached. Krishna's there. Cheto darapanam arjanam bhava mahadavagni navapanam sreya kairava chandra kavataranam vijavadhu jivanam anandam budivaradanam pratipadam bhunam ratashwadanam sarvatmasna param param vijayate sri krishna sankirtanam. That the mind is like a mirror. The mind is meant to reflect the light and the glory of the eternal soul, which is part of Krishna. When the mind, the mirror of the mind, is pure and clean, the beauty of the Paramatma reflects not only for our own eternal joy, but for the light, enlightenment of the whole world. So this cleansing of our mind, this destroying of the attachments of the mind, is the purpose of Sanatana Dharma. It is the purpose of all religion. Krishna says in Gita, Bhaktya mam abhijanati yavan yashta smitatvataha. That only when we have unalloyed devotion does Krishna reveal himself to us as he is. And Brahma Samhita also declares, Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santasa daivardayeshu vilokayanti yam shama sundaram achintya gunasvarupam kohovindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. That when our eyes are decorated with the salve of pure love, then we can perceive the beautiful threefold bending form of Shama Sundar. So the real internal significance of Janmashtami is when Krishna makes his appearance within our hearts and within our lives. Krishna appeared in this world for one purpose ultimately, to teach us the process by which we can experience the love and the mercy of Krishna, the presence of Krishna, 24 hours a day for all of eternity. Krishna performed his wonderful pastimes to attract our hearts and our minds to his loving service. He spoke the Gita to teach us how to strictly follow a lifestyle by which we can purify our existence and become pure servitors of the Lord. Bhagavad Gita is not simply meant to study as a theoretic scholarly practice. Bhagavad Gita is not meant simply to memorize and show the world how many slokas we can recite in perfect Sanskrit meter. Bhagavad Gita is meant to apply to our life, every phase of our life. Arjuna, he was not a Brahmin, he was a Kshatriya. He was not sannyasi or brahmachari. He was a grihastha with many wives and many children. The Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Parthasarathi, Sri Krishna, to Arjuna to impel him to put those teachings into his life 24 hours and to fight against all the enemies of illusion and exploitation. Not for himself, but as a humble service to the Supreme Lord, Govinda. This is Bhagavad Gita. Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyajim nam namaskuru mam evaishyashi shatyam te pratijani priyoshu. This is the essence of Gita. To always remember Krishna. To become his devotee. To offer everything to him. Our body, our mind, our words, our life. And this is the blissful life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Lord Sri Krishna himself, in the divine mood of the love of Srimati Radharani, appeared in this world. But he did not reveal himself as God, but he revealed himself as a devotee to teach each of us by his practical example how to perfect our lives. How to always remember Krishna, how to be his devotee, how to surrender everything for Krishna's sake, how to purify our hearts. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught a simple process, which is the essence of the application of all the teachings of the Vedas. And what is that? That we must associate intimately, in a mood of humble service with the Vaishnavas, with those pure-hearted sadhus who are dedicating their lives in the service of the Lord. And in their association, we must learn the process of sadhana bhakti. We must learn to regulate and discipline our lives by following regulative principles. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. These activities further perpetuate the illusion and bondage of the imprisoned soul. They feed and nourish these six enemies which are destroying our spirituality. At the same time, in the association of simple, humble, pure-hearted devotees, we must learn the proper process of serving the Lord, serving those devotees, and chanting the holy names of Krishna. Because factually, Krishna is non-different than his name. Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar. In this age of Kali Yuga, the Lord appears within his name. Om Apavitra Apavitro Vasaravavastam Gatopiva. Yasmaret Pundarikaksam Sabhayabhyantara Sukshi. And Krishna is all pure. Namachintamani Krishnas, Chaitanya Rasvigra. And all those purifying powers of Krishna are fully endowed within his name. Therefore, it is said in the Puranas, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalona, Steva, Nasteva, Nasteva, Gatiranyata. When we learn to chant the holy name of the Lord with deep concentration and attention, without offense, in a pure state of mind, then Krishna will manifest himself to us in the most wonderful way through the beautiful sound of his name. Therefore, Srila Rupa Goswami has explained to us that I do not know, I cannot fathom, understand, or conceive the nectar that is contained within these two most blessed syllables, Krishna. When I chant the holy name of Krishna with this tongue, that name is so infinitely sweet that I desire many, many, many tongues to allow the Lord to dance upon. And when that name enters into my ears, I desire millions upon millions upon millions of ears to experience the unlimited joy of Krishna's name. And when that name enters into my heart, it conquers my senses, it conquers my mind, and I become utterly surrendered at the lotus feet of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. For the holy name cleanses the mirror of the mind and reveals the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not only to ourselves, but to whoever we come in contact with. So, this is the message. And this is the determination that this holy time of Janmashtami should inculcate within our lives. We should have that enthusiasm and willingness to follow in the footsteps of Devaki and Vasudev and cleanse these sinful enemies of lust, anger, pride, envy, greed, and illusion from our hearts. We should be willing to accept inconvenience and sacrifice in the service of the Lord to assist in the mission of the Lord. And this all comes about through the chanting of the holy names. When we chant the holy names in Sankirtan and the association of devotees, and we chant very loudly, as Lord Gaurasundar has taught us, then that holy name travels to purify the entire existence. We cannot calculate the potency of Krishna's name when it is chanted by so many wonderful, sincere devotees of the Lord. There are so many crises, so many sufferings all around us in this world. In our personal life, terrible misery is either taking place or imminent. And when we hear what is taking place in the news, we find terrible droughts and floods and earthquakes, epidemic diseases, greed, crime, drug addiction, alcoholism, murder, wars, cold wars, hot wars, nuclear bombs. We can list forever practically the various ways to suffer in this world. And it is all around us. And we should not hide our eyes from the facts, the reality. And through the United Nations and through the various social, political, and philanthropic organizations, they are trying to, at the most, relieve some of the symptoms of material miseries. But despite all of our technology, all of our science, and all of our developed diplomacy, the world is in a terrible condition of conflict and suffering. Because there is only one process in this age of Kali Yuga to actually relieve the sufferings of this world. And that is to get out of this world. We were explaining today at Sri Radha Gopinath Temple in Chopati that this material existence is like a vast, unlimited ocean of suffering, of birth and death. And if you're in the middle of that ocean, you cannot avoid from getting wet. If you're cast in the ocean, can you become dry? It's not possible. Nor is it possible to be in this ocean of material suffering and not suffer. Therefore, Krishna is so inconceivably merciful that out of love and compassion for all of his children, for all living entities, he appears within this material world only for our sake, to attract us to his beautiful, loving pastimes, to give us proper instructions, and to reveal his divine name. And he is coming to throw us that life raft to take us out of this ocean of suffering. And through his name and through his devotees, the great acharyas in the parampara system, they are coming to give us the life raft of Krishna's mercy to take us out of the ocean of material suffering. But how foolish material civilization is today. That the life raft is there. We're wet with material suffering. And we say, please take the life raft. Take the name of Krishna. Take the association of his devotees. Come out of this material world. Transcend it today. But what do they say? I don't have time to take the life raft because I'm too busy trying to dry myself off in this ocean. I'm too busy trying to relieve the sufferings in this world of sufferings. When Krishna says we have to get out of this world, dukalaya mashashvatam, it does not mean we have to die, because death doesn't work, because the soul's eternal. Nahanyate hanyamane sarire. Whatever state of being we remember at the time of death, we have to be born again into that condition. It means to no longer identify oneself with this material body, which is ever changing, to realize that I am the eternal soul, I am not this body, and to live for the purpose of the soul. The purpose of the body is janasya mohoya mahammameti prakrite kriyamanani gunai karamani sam ahankara vimudatma karatahamiti manyate. This is material life. We serve the body by claiming proprietorship, that I am this body and everything in relation is mine to enjoy and to control. To get out of this world means to get out of that illusory conception of life and to realize that I am the eternal soul. I am part of Krishna. I am eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. Jivera Swarupoi Krishnara Nitya Das. And the joy of the soul is to be reunited with Krishna through love and through service. And to realize that. is to purify our intelligence by reading the Holy Scriptures with the pure commentaries of the great Acharyas. Srila Prabhupada has given us those books. We should read them carefully and live by them. And the conclusion of all the scriptures and the conclusion of all of Srila Prabhupada's literatures is to accept this divine gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the form of the association of devotees, service to the Lord, and the chanting of the holy names. It is so simple. Thakur Bhakti Vinod has prayed, Grihe tako vane tako, Sadahari bole tako, Shuke duke bulo nako, Vadane harinam korore. That whether you are a grihasta, having a profession with a family and children and home, or whether you are a sannyasi traveling, preaching, or living in the jungles, if you sincerely chant the holy names, take this medicine of Harinam regularly, every day, you will be free from all the happiness and distress of this world, and you will be established in the eternal divine joy of Krishna. And then Krishna takes birth within our hearts. And when we chant the holy names, we can perform the greatest welfare service to all humanity by allowing the ambrosial sweet sound of Harinam to echo through the entire universe. And if we perform this activity with sincere hearts, we are truly celebrating the real Janmashtami for Sri Krishna. We are inviting him again to appear through his name into this world. So let us all now celebrate Krishna's Janmashtami by loudly chanting the holy names according to the direction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I will briefly explain the process. As I am chanting with folded hands like this, everyone, you can go like this. Welcome Lord Sri Krishna through the sound of his name into our ears, into our minds, and into the core of our hearts by listening attentively with humility. And when you are chanting, raise your arms very high into the sky, making your life an offering. Krishna, you have come in your name, and I surrender to you. I am yours. I give up all my illusory attempts to enjoy your creation, and I offer my life to you. And we should chant very loudly, with great feeling, and with great concentration. Everyone, please stand up.